Hello, everybody, from the second day of the ITB and from our fourth edition of our little ITB podcast, Beyond Business. And we're still in hall number 6, and the second day even seems to be busier than yesterday. So it's, we're in the tech hall, so the tech industry is booming. I'm delighted to have a guest from Calgary, Canada. His name is Bruce Pontip. He just finished his session few minutes ago. And as I could tell from the session, he was a man who was in high demand and people had a lot of questions and approaches to him. So Mr. Bruce Pontip, great having you here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Just to give you a little introduction about you, you're a founder and the owner of G Adventures, a tour operator.
Yes.
And you founded that long time ago?
35 years ago. When I was a kid.
And you're still the owner of it.
Which I am.
Quite, I mean, founding a company is one thing, but then being the owner of it and then not having it sold within 35 years to a larger company.
You know.
That is even more, you know, special. So you kept it.
Yeah. You know, Forbes magazine did a piece on me when we were 20 years old, and it was called The Founder's Dilemma. And it was about how I kept the business for 20 years. And that was 15 years ago now. Yeah. And I'm still doing what we're doing because we're still doing exciting things and innovating. And I'm still excited, motivated to do it.
Yeah. But you're not belong to the startup generation, which is bringing up a company and then only for you're not that kind of generation, right?
You know what? I'd argue that because after COVID, we had to, you know, terminate over 2,000 employees. We were a startup after that. You know, when we came out of COVID, we were down to, you know, I felt like we were a startup with 30 years experience. It was a very exciting time, like to rebuild the company very differently after COVID. You know, it was being a startup after 30 years was pretty exciting.
You started from scratch through COVID.
Right? After COVID, yeah. I mean, I think everybody did. 2 years of no revenue.
Yeah.
And we own many different companies, but all of our companies went down by almost 90% of our employee base.
So for and many tour operators, it was like that. I mean, COVID was some sort of point zero, right?
Yeah. And I think that the whole travel industry went into startup mode, really, because we had the opportunity to build back differently and build back better. Some companies took that opportunity. Many didn't. But it was for us, it was a very exciting time building back after COVID and with that startup mentality.
I mean, starting from you personally, I mean, what I've read about you from, you were born in Trinidad and Tobago.
Yeah.
You're from a Chinese father.
Yep.
And your mother is from Venezuela.
Yeah. Wow, you did your research. No, I've had to think on it. I've been doing interviews for 25 years and no one has ever mentioned that. So way to go.
At the age of 6, your family moved to Calgary, Canada.
I was 3.
You were 3. But,
yeah.
Okay. And that was, so it's a real multicultural background,
yeah,
from scratch. So
wow, you're going way back.
In that sense, well, I'm a journalist, so it's my, wow, my job.
Are you sure? More like a private investigator. That's beyond journalism.
So you were predestined for the tourism industry, and that from some sort of background, or?
I think I was predestined to be an entrepreneur. I don't think I knew, because I had 3 businesses before I turned 16. I wrote a book in 2013, which was a New York Times bestseller, and it was about my, you know, growing up. I started 3 businesses before I turned 16, so I think I was destined to be an entrepreneur. I think tourism was a passion and I wanted to do something I loved. So it went into tourism. I wouldn't say that I was destined to be in tourism, but I was destined to be an entrepreneur, and innovation is at the core of my existence, I think. So all of those things kind of have been channeled into G Adventures.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, when I was investigating, as you have already noted,
yes, geez.
I talked to some people of the industry about G Adventures
and
some people who are in the environmental things. And,
okay.
And they all said, well, this is a company. They have a good reputation and they're really,
oh, good,
have,
well,
some credibility. And
I like to think so. We work hard on that.
So maybe you can tell us a little what's the special thing about G Adventures, or what's the USB, or what makes it really your company.
Yeah.
The profile of it.
Well, I think that we started as a company that was, you know, connected to people, connected to cultures. And that was very unique back in 1990. It was revolutionary, really. Like taking people, like we originally took people on like public transport, stayed in hostels and did family homestays. It was like really getting people connected with people. But I think that over time, we kind of evolved into what we kind of owned, which is community tourism. When the, I guess, entire industry was going towards eco and environment and connected tourism to climate change and these kind of issues, we believe that travel could be transformational for communities and marginalized communities could create wealth distribution by because we're going to some of the 40 poorest countries in the world and bringing marginalized communities into the tourism economy, alleviated poverty and created wealth distribution. And I think we were the first company to kind of put that as a major selling feature of a program, connecting people to communities and owning that concept and being the global leader in community tourism. That's where what we do the best in the world. And we continue to innovate in that. We continue to strengthen our relationships and our dialogue with local communities and people and bring more and more people into the tourism supply chain and giving marginalized communities the opportunity to create cultural heritage preservation using tourism as a vehicle.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Then the idea what it is about.
Yeah.
Talking about the customer and the customers. Desires. I mean, I read an interview and then you were mentioned the comfort zone.
Yeah.
And it's necessary to take people out of the comfort zone.
Oh, well, you did your research.
That sounds interesting to me because actually I would like to know what is the comfort zone?
Yeah.
How do we take people out of it? And why do we have to step out of it?
We so do.
Well, questions in one.
Well, I think if you never leave your comfort zone, you rob yourself of the richness that travel can offer people. So today, when so many tour operators are so focused on the amenities and giving people the comforts of home, I think that's the wrong motivation for people to travel. So, you know, when you go on travel now, they make sure that you can eat Italian and French food and sushi when you're in another country, or suddenly thread counts on sheets is important. Just, you know, entertainment like Broadway shows or indoor zip lining or indoor surfing or whatever, where the destination is no longer relevant and people are no longer connected to the destination. They're instead buying amenities. I think that's super dangerous first in travel if people no longer care where they're going and they're no longer connected to the destination on why they're going or their purpose to travel. So that whole idea of, you know, what you're asking is leaving your comfort zone. When you leave your comfort zone and you prepare to leave comfort, to experience another culture. So you actually feel like you're in Latin America when you're in Latin America. You feel like you're in Africa, not a Western version. When you promise the comforts of home, you rob the destination of its richness and uniqueness by trying to cater to the needs of Westerners, right? And then you rob yourself the richness of a full experience that travel offers. Which, what does travel offer? It gives you that capacity to give a better understanding of where you come from, a greater appreciation for where you come from, a greater understanding of your place in the world, in the universe. It gives us a more tolerance. You know, I think travel can be the fastest path to peace. If more and more people just understood how other cultures lived, I think there'd be a lot less violence in the world, a lot less division. And travel can just be all of that if you leave your comfort. If you only travel because you want all the comforts of home, just stay home.
But doesn't take that a lot of effort from the tour operator?
Yes.
Push people out of the comfort zone because everybody loves his own comfort zone, physically, emotionally, mentally.
Well, that's what's been happening in tourism and, you know, where people are trying to make it so people don't have to leave their conveniences. So the idea that you're going to go to a country and that you can still eat French food or Italian food or, you know, sushi or Japanese food, so you don't feel like you've left your comfort zone, so you can have everything that you get at home, is the wrong kind of mentality that travel should be. You should push people to experience the local culture. Like when you're in a country, you should feel like you're in that country. This idea that hotels now are trying to create, you know, there's chains of hotels that promise the same experience in every country to give people, so people don't feel uncomfortable when they go to another country. I just think that there should be a tipping point where people think that's weird. You shouldn't want to feel like you're at home when you're in Indonesia or when you're in Tibet or when you travel to, you know, some of the most, you know, iconic destinations in the world. You should feel like you're in that country. And the accommodations and the food should represent, it's such a big part of the experience of travel. And it really, when you push yourself out of that comfort zone, the benefits are when you return home, because you have a greater appreciation for the community where you're most comfortable. You have a better understanding of where you come from, a greater understanding of your place, you know, in the world. And that's what travel should be.
I mean, your company's named G Adventure. What's the ultimate adventure I could experience as a customer on this? What's it, Julie?
Wow. Well, we have over 1,000 now adventures you can choose from.
Just to give an average thing, what the average customer would.
Oh, gosh. Like, I mean, we have 12 different brands of trips, from expedition into Antarctica to, you know, bike trips in Vietnam to our National Geographic signature programs, which are $1,000 a day luxury programs, but offer community experiences through the stands. So we have something for everyone. We also have 18 to 30 something is one of our biggest brands for young people. You can take a I have a friend actually on a trip that's taking a 54-day trip across Africa and camping in a bus, which goes from Cape Town all the way to Nairobi for younger people or more adventurous people that want to camp. So we have something for everyone, but it's more the motivation. And I don't define our customers through demographics. We call it psychographics, like they're the people that want more out of their travel. And they're connected by, you know, that purpose of why they go to a certain country, why they want to be in that country, and why they want to travel in general.
I have read that you're also a great fan of India.
I am.
And I mean, is India the destination, the ultimate destination to step out of the comfort zone?
Oh, yeah. Well, India is the height of everything, right? Like the height of the five senses. I actually believe that people can go to India too soon. Like you should be quite experienced in travel before you go to India.
It's not for beginners.
Yeah. I think some people go and they hate India because they went too soon.
Yeah.
Like they really didn't experience travel first because India is an assault on all the senses when you go there. But it's one of the few countries where it's so, you know, you get so absorbed in everything, the food, the music, the religions, the culture, the poverty, the extreme wealth. I mean, everything is such extremes in India. And there's just so few countries that are like that. I mean, Japan would be another one, of course, which is just a culture that's so strong in food and music. And you just feel like you're on another planet when you're there. But India is one of those places that I love. I've probably been to India 15 different times over the last 3 to 5 years. And every time I go, I see something new and something different. And it's unique in so many ways. But I think that India is a very special destination when it's the right time to go in your travel career, because so you can fully absorb it. And I think people that when go at the right time, when they go, they'll go multiple times after that, because it's one of those countries that you can see so many different parts of it.
I can totally agree to that.
Yeah.
It can change your mind.
Yeah. About everything.
If you're
open, and it's changing so much too, right?
So Bruce, you're somebody, you're in the industry for a very long time, mm-hmm. 35 years. So you've seen a lot of change.
Yeah.
You've seen the transformation of the industry. And I mean, from that background of your experience, what is the impact of technology, of social media?
Mm-hmm.
Now we're in the AI boom. Mm-hmm. Is this driving us away from authentic experiences? Is it also accessing it to the original experience?
Well, I don't think so. I think technology has been an amazing thing for connecting emotional. Like I think travel and technology, I think it's the only industry where technology allowed travel to make an emotional connection with their customers. If you look at what social media has done by being able to tell stories and have immediate connection to customers, it allowed travel to create intimate relationships with customers they never had before. And so technology has always been something that in every industry, technology, I think, has devastated industries like publishing, for instance, if you look what it did there. But with travel, I think it made travel better. Now, it did take away a lot of things. And this next generation and the Instagram moments and the social media, the older generation kind of looks down on that. But I think it's the emotional connection to destinations and to tourism and to travel in general that social and technology has allowed us to evolve as an industry. And I just think it's such a positive thing that people can research travel through social media, get connected to the destination before they get there. Now, it's changed the industry significantly. So you have to embrace change to embrace technology, because technology kind of works in parallel with business and society. And so as people change and we evolve as humans, technology fills all kinds of needs. And travel is this single constant that people will always want, like, because we're born explorers. Like we are born to explore and to be curious. And, you know, society makes us tourists along the way, but underneath all of that, we want to explore and see the world and see, you know, once we get a consciousness about the fact that we're all floating in this rock in space and we share this planet together, we become curious about how other people live. And so travel will always be strong. And even with AI is, you know, there's so much fear around AI. AI will always need that emotional connection. It'll never take that away from human beings. And so travel will always drive that. And so I think we should always lean into it, embrace it, because I think it'll only benefit us to embrace technology. It'll change the industry, and it has devastated travel. If you look at even travel agents 30 years ago, used to make all their money on selling airline tickets, and you had these ticket bucket shops, and all those are gone. So it did revolutionize the industry, but it made it better.
Yeah.
It is stronger. It made us more connected to our customers. It allowed us to sell emotional experiences. Not everyone takes that, because the fastest growing side of the industry in the last 20 years have been cruises and compound resorts. But ultimately, I believe there's a tipping point where people will use technology to better understand the world, but they'll need those emotional connections, and travel will be that vehicle.
So, and there will still be room for the unexpected, for the surprise, for the emotional sensation, or
that's harder.
Everything,
the element of surprise,
everything becomes predictable, right?
Yes. I mean, yes, it takes away that. Like, there's elements that technology has changed travel. That the element of surprise is a very good one. Because, you know, as I said, when we started in 1990, I did my research for G-Adventures in a library. I didn't know if there was other companies doing it in the world. I couldn't do a Google search. I didn't have a fax machine. So, you know, it was very different. And that element of surprise of going to Africa back then, if you wanted to see, you know, research Africa, you have to go to a library to research it. And today you have that information on your pocket. You can read blogs. You can see live videos of people there. So that element of surprise is gone for sure. It just actually makes people more connected, though. And they personally want to go to a specific country or a specific continent because it draws them, and there's a purpose on why they want to be there. We can use that in the industry to make just travel industry better, as opposed to just worrying about what we lost. We did lose the element of surprise with technology, how people research travel, how people book travel. All of that has been revolutionized in the last 20 years. But it doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing, because we're seeing more and more people more purposeful in why they want to travel, where they want to travel, and wanting to be more connected to the destinations, which creates that richness in the experience for everyone.
You're also very experienced in the community-based tourism.
Mm-hmm.
And many tour operators are putting that in the window.
Yeah, I know.
Do that kind of thing. But your definition, what is community-based tourism and what is it not? And
yeah.
What makes the difference? Because, I mean,
yeah.
There's also a lot of greenwashing.
Yeah, there's tons.
When it comes to community-based tourism. But yeah. How would you define it as?
Community tourism is about shared responsibility, right? When a group decides to go and you want to go into another country, you have to share the responsibility. And everyone who makes it possible for you to travel is part of that responsibility. So you're putting equal responsibility on the customer, which has never been done before. The customer has a free pass because they pay, and we just serve the customer. We believe that, you know, travel is a privilege. That there's so few people in the world that actually get to say, I want to go on holiday this year. When you look at the numbers, the amount of people that travel and the population in the world, it's a privilege that we get to travel. It's not your right. There's no right that you have to travel. And once people understand that, that is when, you know, travel will be transformational. But community is about bringing people together with a shared responsibility. Like, everyone understands who benefits. The traveler benefits for being there. The local people benefit from being there. But it's also around dialogue, where you're actually building stories and telling stories and traditions through travel with the dialogue of local communities. That's the greenwashing part, because people think, oh, we're doing this because we're doing community. But travel for the last 50 years has been built in Western countries, and we just drop people in foreign countries, and the local people don't support it, agree with it, or benefit from it. That builds tension with tourism and travelers. And then that's why suddenly we started building walls around compound resorts that are all inclusive. And they tell you, don't leave the walls because the natives are restless. And of course they are, because you're in there consuming mass amounts of natural resources, living luxury, when outside of those walls, there's no access to education, clean drinking water, medical care. They use that tension to keep you in those walls, and that's not sustainable.
Last question, and that's also probably a difficult one. Okay. How can travel stay affordable for many people? Because prices have gone up,
especially
in the last years.
Yeah.
And as you said, it's a privilege to travel. Please stay affordable, or?
Well, I think if you look at the statistics, the number one thing that people need to, the cost for travel, first of all, is airfares. And airfares have gone down considerably over the last, because of choice, because we have discount airlines. Every major airline has their own discount airline to fight the discount airlines. So if you actually look at the trends over the last 20 years, getting places has become cheaper, faster, and more affordable. That's the number one thing we have to tackle. Now, how you travel when you get to another country now is where it's your choice. We sell National Geographic signature trips that are luxury trips with expert National Geographic lecturers on that cost over $1,000 a day. And you can travel that way. But you can also choose to travel more locally. And when you travel more locally, it naturally becomes more cost effective and cheaper. But it depends on what level of what you want when you travel. So yes, travel can be very expensive. Yes, it naturally goes up with supply chain issues we're experiencing all over the world. And there's inflation everywhere. But I'm a believer that it doesn't have to be. You can still go and travel independently and just go book your own hotel, go book your, and I always say one of the things that's really important for us at G Adventures and has been a model for us for 35 years is if you can't travel with us, travel like us. And so you can do it more affordably by, you know, booking local, small scale, locally owned accommodations, eating in locally owned restaurants. We do that for you if you want to travel with us, but it's not what's happening in mainstream travel. When you book a coach tour and you go a shopping spot, they own that shopping spot. Like when you go off a cruise ship and you go off, you know, and you think you're, they give you a list of places you can shop, money's driven right back to the ship. That industry is not creating wealth distribution or alleviating any poverty locally. So that makes things more, even more expensive than supply chain issues. So once you just ask the right questions, do a bit of investigation, there is ways you can travel and be way, way more affordable. It's out there, but you just have to know and you have to educate yourself a bit. And it doesn't take that much. Just ask a few questions.
We're taking that as a strong advice for this podcast. Travel local, support the local communities.
Or with G Adventures.
Bye.
Or with G Adventures. It's one of the two.
Bruce, it was so great having you here.
No, it's been amazing. Thank you. That was honestly great. I'm telling you, after 35 years, that was the most intense short interview I've ever had. And I'm not, and I've never said that to anyone else. I don't say that to anyone. So thank you.
Hey, thank you
for your research. That was excellent.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.